All right, you guys can turn to Acts chapter 2. And we're not going to 38. I mean, we could, just for the fun of it. But Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 2, 42, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Yay! Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, for the blessings that you give us, all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. We're appreciative for your church around the world, for the local congregations, your body. We're appreciative for the privilege of prayer that we can come with confidence to the throne of grace. Father, I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly, and that each of us could maybe understand the process more, and most of all, be more committed to the process that you have given to us in our devotion, Lord, to prayer. I ask this all through Jesus' name. Amen. I'm actually thrilled to be here. When Matt asked me, a couple reasons. Matt and I don't get to talk as much as I would like to, and I really have enjoyed the fellowship, and Jessica was also you. I'm always like surprised. I really like Jessica. I'm not saying I try to forget about you, but sometimes it's like every time I spend time with you, like, this is an awesome lady. So great blessing. But when Matt gave me the topic, so the purpose, right, of the process, in my mind fixated on process. So how many of you guys have heard the saying, like, trust the process? Like, this is the thing, like in sports and in business and everything. Trust the process, trust the process, trust the... And actually, I really like the concept. Hey, there's a couple books that I've read that I've really enjoyed. They make my top five list outside of the Bible. One is a book called Mindset. And the other is a book called Atomic Habits. And both of these books, I like that it's about the process. Not just results-oriented, but... how do we grow? How do we get there? And so the concept is really good. But I do have to admit that I'm a skeptical person by intentionally so. I try to be equally skeptical of everything. So when people tell me that actually the earth is flat, I'm like, okay, I know we're being lied to about a lot, but I'm gonna be skeptical. Just as skeptical that you're telling me the earth is flat as I am that these pictures that NASA is sending us are all AI generated. Okay? I'm going to be equally skeptical. So when people tell me trust the process, I want to, but I also like, everybody says that. Can I trust? Is the process trustworthy? Is it something I can put everything into? And I find that most things in life, I have a hard time fully committing 100% to man-made processes of anything. But one thing I really appreciate about the scriptures, awesome message, by the way, Mike. I was getting goosebumps so many times. You were just reading the power of God's word. Like, this is one book. So when Mindset, if you were to take my copy of Mindset, open it up, I have places that I've crossed out, like baloney. I have question marks and spots. If you were to take my book of Atomic Habits, I have spots that I've crossed out, argued with, like, no, I don't agree with this, garbage. When it comes to this, I still got a few question marks. This is my older Bible I dug out for the trip. I've got more question marks in this one than my newer one. But I still got question marks in here, but they're none of this that's crossed out. When I come to a spot that I want to cross it out, it's like, no, this is what needs rearranged, right? So this is a process that we can fully trust. And I want to give a little bit of an example of this morning, just on the concept of process before we dive into the process of prayer. So when I had kids, Matthew was my firstborn, and thankful he got to come with me. But he turns 5 years old, and we're like, we're going to do something to get this guy an opportunity to burn off some energy. And we put him in soccer. So Matthew's first, you know, 5-year-old soccer game, I bought him some hiking shoes to play soccer in. Okay, that's how we were like, well, we're going to take you camping, hiking. We're just going to dual purpose this. So Matthew's out there with all these other little guys. I don't know how much I'm allowed to move here. But they are, it's amoeba ball. It's not soccer. It's like just everybody follows the whole, wherever the ball goes, right? You got this group, all the players on both sides following this around. And then, you know, some things start developing and I start coaching little guy soccer. Guys, I've never played. I never really cared. My brother Matt played some soccer, so I was interested. I watched a few games. I had seen a few World Cup games, but I knew nothing about soccer. What I was a good cheerleader. You know, I was, hey, yeah, all right, awesome, good job, guys. You know, that's what I was. But somewhere, I was like, okay, I want to get better. I want to understand this game if I'm going to keep coaching my sons. So I took some training, some basic training stuff. And then somewhere, I purposely asked to be an assistant coach. And we're still talking little guy soccer. But I asked to be an assistant coach on this guy's team that he understood the game. He was a certified ref, top level, understood the game. And so I said, hey, can I be your assistant coach? I just want to learn some things. And so through that basic training that I had taken and then a lot of the drills and stuff, I'm starting to understand some of the concept of the process. Now, let me explain this. Okay. Little guy soccer, probably up till you're 11 or 12 years old, you can win a lot of soccer games by playing the game the wrong way. Okay? I'll just simply understood, we call it boot ball. Okay? You get some big dudes in your back line and you just boot it down there and you get a couple fast runners on the front and they can maybe finish a few goals and you can win a lot of soccer games. That is not soccer. Okay? Soccer is called, anybody here soccer fans at all? Okay, thank you, Nathan Cox. I was wondering if anybody, okay? They call it the beautiful game. Okay, anybody know where World Cup is this year? It's in the United States, that's all I know. But it's in the United States and Canada, right? So, it's the beauty, if you've ever watched the actual game of soccer, it is the beautiful game when it's played right. It's a really ugly game when it's played wrong. Okay, so I'm purposely taking something that none of us are maybe that good at to say why this process is important. I'd actually asked Maya Dillon if she could maybe bring a soccer ball, and she was gonna, and then come to find out it was deflated anyways, and she didn't bring it. She's like, I can go back and get it. I was like, no, you're fine. But I was trying to decide if I was going to embarrass Maya or Joe Shanahan, because both of them are really good with this orange round ball. But I think I could have easily embarrassed them with this little soccer ball. Okay? I was going to call Matthew up here, and there's something that's called two-touch soccer. Okay? Simple. So, I'm not trying to teach you guys soccer, but just stay with the process. Okay? So, Mark Sauter, you pass it to me. The most important thing for two-touch soccer is that I stop the ball, and that it stays at my foot. And then I pass it somewhere else. That's two-touch soccer. Okay? Most of us in this room couldn't do two-touch soccer because we'd try to stop the ball and it won't stay at our foot. So it hits our foot, bounces that. Depending on the speed at which I was going to have Matthew ramp it up a little, you know, boom, boom. Then switch to one. Now, the next step is one-touch soccer. So it comes to your foot and you don't stop it. You just can take it and redirect in one touch. It's actually much more complicated than it sounds. So somewhere I'm teaching, I decided to coach this homeschool soccer team, and I realized none of these guys even can do two-touch soccer. How do you, when pressure starts coming, it's like that ball is going all over the place. They're trying to pass it, and it's going to the wrong team. What do you do? Well, then basically what you got to do is you got to come back to very basic drills. The first part of practice every day is just basic drills, two-touch soccer. Okay? Then you have some drills that start working on one-touch soccer, and then you make all sorts of games that reinforce those concepts. Okay? And it's amazing. Okay? You can homeschool sports. You understand the level that we're starting with, right? But it was amazing how good this team got, relatively speaking, over the course of a year. And the main reason is these basic drills and then making small-sided games where you're creating pressure to force you to do the little things right. Amazing. Okay. Now, God starts with us. And the truth of the matter is most of us start our spiritual level of, how do I say this? Not at a very high level of performance, shall we say. Okay? Like maybe a lot of these homeschool sports soccer players were starting. That's where we start from. Okay? And what is God working to develop within us? I'll just ask this question two ways. Guys, what's God's purpose in our lives? There's a few different right answers, so I'm not going to... But I just want a little feedback. What's God's purpose in our lives? Anybody? Okay, do good works. Okay, we should engage in good works, right? Why, though? Why would we want to engage? There's a bigger purpose than engaging in good works. There we go. That's the answer. One of the answers I'm really looking for. At the end of our lives, God is going to hold us up as His witnesses, and He has been glorified. He is glorified in us here and for all of eternity. So the bottom line is for God to be glorified in my life, for God to be glorified in your life, right? That's the purpose. Now, at an individual level, I think about it from now, that's the big picture purpose for God, the benefit of God. At an individual level, what do I want for myself in this process? And here's the way I think of it. I want my inner man to be prepared for that body of glory. I'm gonna pick on, I see some older people around here. I'm gonna pick on the old ladies for a second. One of my pet peeves is when you get an old grandma driving a really fast car very slowly. Now, I really like when I see an old grandma driving a fast car. Fast. Okay? That's fun. Okay? But if you think about it, you got this really fast car and you're going to stick my little Honda Civic engine in that thing. What a letdown. Like, you hit the, and you expect to be like, and it's like, okay. Guys, there's a body of glory that's awaiting us. Amen? And actually, it's very associated, I think, the way that God's going to give those bodies of glory are very associated, but I just, with the inner man. But I think about it this way. I want my inner man to be prepared for the body of glory. This is an amazing system that God has set up. What He has designed for Him to be glorified through us, we get the benefit of our inner man being transformed. It's an awesome process, but we got to commit to the process. One more thing by way of intro that I'll say. A number of years ago, I was coming back actually from a concert, Christian concert, and we're having a discussion with my people that were in the vehicle. And the question came up from somebody, how come it seems like nobody changes? That's a little extreme, okay? Because people change. But a lot of people don't change maybe the level that we would expect them to as Christians. And rather than thinking about everyone else, I like to turn the finger to me, right? Because this is the only... Okay. So, but here's a question I asked. How many people in the Lord's church do you actually think read their Bible every day like the way Mike was talking about? How many people do you think actually pray every day, devoted to prayer? Like not good bread, good meat, good God, let's eat, gotta go. Like actual pray to the Lord. How many people actually set their mind to share this word as it goes out? How many, and I'll just point the finger at me, and you can point it at yourself. The problem's not the process, guys. The problem is not the process. The problem is maybe we don't understand the value of the process, so I'm thankful for this topic. And then we don't fully commit to it because we don't trust the process enough, our belief, our faith, to actually do it. And so I want to encourage us all through this today. I want to talk about the process of prayer and just want to encourage you to, wherever you're at in this, to say, okay, I want to, if I need to start the process of being devoted to prayer, then I need to, you start where you start. We all do. If we're along the way, to encourage you to keep being consistent with it and to overcome some of the failures in your life, the setbacks, I want to encourage you to commit to this process. So, one last thought rolling around before I really get rolling. So, I'm really thankful for Mike's message, and it came first, and it goes together like this. So, it would be really hard to tell God that we love Him and we care about Him and we're interested in Him if we didn't listen to Him. Okay? So, if we'll just say, if your spouse is talking to you and you're like, what was that? Okay. Does that communicate like a lot of interest? Okay. You want to listen, right? And that's the majority, actually, of relationship, is caring enough about the other person to listen to them. But I think I got an illustration to communicate the other side of this. Anybody in here know Sean Green besides Matthew? Sean Green from L.A., he was at Peaks this last year, and he's a good friend of ours. He likes to hang out with the Wilson boys and tenting together. And he's like, we're going to sleep that night after the messages. And Sean's like, hey, Luke, I got to tell you about, and I'm just going to say LaToya 1 and LaToya 2, okay? I'm like, okay, hey, tomorrow would be a great time to talk about that. I know I'm starting to fade. So I tell him, tomorrow would be a great time to talk about that. And he wants to talk about it. So he's talking, and I'm like, and pretty soon. And I wake up to Sean saying, Luke, you're not listening to me? And he told me later, he's like, it's my fault because you told me. But guys, here's the other thing. You can say you're listening, but how did he, actually, I don't think I was snoring yet. What he figured out that I wasn't listening is because I wasn't responding. There was no talking. I don't mean talking back, like talking back. There was no feedback in terms of communication. Right? Is it possible to be diligent students of God's word where we get in and we dig in, but we never communicate back to the Lord? That's still not the full relationship that God wants, right? And so I want us to just to encourage us here in prayer. I will confidently say, and this is not from an arrogance thing, it took me a long time to get there, but from the time I was probably 13 years old, I wanted to start reading my Bible every day. Read the Bible through in a year. Read the Bible through in a year. I wanted to do that. And it wasn't until I was 20 years old, my mom actually gave me a certain Bible that's actually the same system I use to this day, but a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, every day. And I just got to where I started if I didn't do it yesterday, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to turn to today. It's like 10 minutes of reading. I can do this. Okay? And I developed that habit. And guys, from the time I was 20 years old till 53, almost 54, I have read the Bible through every single year. Okay? Now, I would be flat out lying to you if I told you that my prayer life from the time I was 20 years old to now was the same level of consistency. Not even close. It's something that I've had to grow. It's the most amazing thing in the world, by the way. But for some strange reason, even though it's a thing I benefit from the most personally, well, like on this trip, my schedule's a little different. Guess what? I still read my Bible every day. My personal routine of prayer, I haven't done on this trip. It's just, there's schedule changes, and those things still throw me off from what I like for my prayer life. It's not that I haven't prayed, but you understand I have something that I like. Hopefully I'll go into this in the process a little bit. My point is, prayer is awesome, but it does require another level of work. I'm going to pick on the guys for a second, and maybe you ladies can benefit from this statement. When you ladies talk to your husbands, do you ever get more kind of grunts back than free-flowing communication that you would like? Is that fair? Can I Just ladies, nod your heads and your husbands won't hold it against you. Okay. Communication for guys takes work. When I talk with other dudes, Nathan and I are talking and he says something and I can finish his sentence for him and say, oh, yeah, I got it. We're both super cool with that. We're like, thank you so much for saving me having to communicate any further. Julie doesn't appreciate that so much. Okay. So what I'm saying is communication, it's true for everybody, but communication is work. It requires a vested effort to be present, to speak back. And so I think it's easy to skip. It's easy to skip. But I want you to notice the New Testament church was devoted to prayer. And I want to encourage us to be as well. So, all right, I'm going to get rolling here. This is a little bit scattered, but I hope you'll benefit from the thoughts here in this process. Guys, every single weakness that I've ever had to fight through in my spiritual life, I'm going to just use one example. Anger is something that I've had to overcome in my life. From the time I was a little guy, my mom saw it in me. I just remember as a little guy, self-control, Luke, self-control. She made me learn. She worked on all aspects of my life. One of her favorite things to do was pretend like she was going to tickle me. And I'd start laughing where she's like, self-control, Luke. Like, she was always working on self-control. And so, Lydia, are you picking on Joe over there? You make some consistent mistakes in your life. After you're a Christian, you're like, okay, I got to deal with this. I got to deal with this. What is this coming from? Where is this coming from? And I think people can have it for different reasons, but I'm just going to summarize. For me, I realized the issue is it's trusting God. And let me explain this. I like things to go the way I have them planned to go. Things don't always go the way you plan them to go. And sometimes people in particular can throw extreme curveballs in that. And I found it very frustrating. And that frustration could build. I never really had a short fuse. I had a long fuse. But when I got to the end of the fuse, everybody knew it. Okay? Not a Christian way to live your life. Outbursts of anger are one of the deeds of the flesh. Not fruit of the Spirit is, Mom, you're right, self-control. But when I was going through this and really going to work on it, I realized the problem in my life, the core problem is I don't trust God the way that I need to. And actually, all of the weaknesses in my life that I've had to fight through, when I get down to it, it really has to do with me trusting God. Guess what? Prayer is absolutely foundational and fundamental to us having a true, real trust in God, an ever-growing trust in God. We know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, right? In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Everybody knows Proverbs 3:5. And then a few verses later, it's like, oh, honor the Lord from your wealth. From the first. That's tougher. But not if you trust God with all your heart. There's a practicality to this, right? And so everything comes back to this. Another thing I want to emphasize, the absolute privilege of prayer. In Billings, there was an older lady named Evie Love, sweet lady. And every time we'd have a prayer session, praises or thanksgivings, her hand would go up. I'm thankful for the privilege of prayer. Like, no kidding. Like, this is far beyond Esther coming into the presence of the king, where he has to extend the scepter. You guys realize nobody on the face of the earth can come into the presence of God. There's a song, not a Christian group, but I liked a few of the words, Hall of Fame, I think it was called. And it's like, you can be a true seeker, preacher. I liked some of the words, but it says, you can go to God banging on his door. Nah. One suggests that. Nobody can talk to God except through Jesus Christ. When we say in Jesus' name, amen, it's like in Jesus' name. what He has opened for us, the veil, torn in two, to be able to be in the presence of God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. This is an awesome verse when we wrap our mind around this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. You guys understand, our Heavenly Father has an absolute open door policy to us. You can have messed up completely, not done the job right, and you can come in with confidence before Him, knowing you're going to get mercy. You can come in and ask for help, and God says, here's the tools you need to get it done. I'm willing to give you my grace to be able to accomplish. Few people on the face of the earth can do this. Why would we not? Why would we not take that opportunity that's been given to us to be in the presence of God with confidence? So I want to just encourage us. This is very worthwhile. You guys can go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. Actually, Mike read it. So we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. And that is, the word is awesome. I want to emphasize something here in conjunction with this, though. First of all, prayer can be shallow and selfish. A lot of prayer can be shallow and selfish. There was a guy I knew in Billings. He would go to, called the Boiler Room, and they'd just pray for hours. They called it IHOP. Okay, and it wasn't like the place you go to get pancakes. Okay? International House of Prayer. It's like, oh, that's interesting. Any of you guys ever heard of that IHOP in here? Okay, so he would go to this place and he'd pray, and they'd have this thing was open 24/7 and go and pray. But it was shocking to me. And the guy knew absolutely zero about the Bible. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude. He didn't know anything about the Bible. So I'm wondering, what is this guy praying about? I don't know how you could spend all this time at the International House of Prayer when you don't know God at all. That's not the kind of prayer we're interested in. Okay? I'm thankful for Mike's message first. We want prayer that's directed from God's Word. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 34. So you guys remember the context there in 2 Corinthians 3 is Moses going in before God, and Moses' face would shine, and then Moses would come out, talk to the people, and then that glory would start to fade away, and Moses would put a veil over his face so the sons of Israel couldn't look intently at what was fading away. And so 2 Corinthians 3 says, hey, guys, we have a lot better hope, right? We have this from glory to glory. Like, and not just an ever-increasing glory, but that thought is in there. Our face is going to shine with confidence, with boldness, from being in the presence of God. But I just want you to notice this from Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. It came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. The Word of God, as Mike pointed out, is powerful to transform us. But guys, this is not simply a one-sided communication. We don't want to be... Okay. Checklist. Okay, prayer. Do you ever start praying and kind of your mind wanders while you're praying? That's okay. God's hearing it anyways, right? But you ever fall asleep praying? I have. And sometimes I have to admit, in my prayers, my mind wandered so far that it's like, Luke, this is, you're not talking to God. You just like took your own. So part of communication is staying engaged, listening. And I want us to think about this process being meditative prayer from God's Word. That's the primary focus I'm going to hit in this message today. There is a lot of prayer. And you can pray without ceasing. And we'll talk about that in a bit. But I want to emphasize meditative prayer from God's Word. The best way I can say it is it takes the Word of God from my mind and sticks it into my heart. It's not just knowing. It's knowing and buying in too. Like, this becomes a part of me, a part of who I am. So transformative in my life. I get to teach Christian school, and I love teaching math. And I was thinking when Mike was saying, how come God didn't just give us His Word? Like, one of my reasons I came up with, the same reason I don't give my kids all the math answers. Make my life a lot easier. Here's the answer, Keith. Just copy them down. They wouldn't learn anything about the process of this, right? So, but one of the things I find the most important in teaching math, it's got nothing to do with math. It has everything to do with self-talk. Okay? I'm not good at math. Well, of course you're not good. If you say you're not good at math, you're not good at math. One of our favorite young ladies now is in Alaska. Sutton's been very, very gracious to her in her life, but Blythe. Some of you might know Blythe, but when she was a math student, I'd ask her how she's doing, And I told her, I was like, hey, when you feel good, you do good. When you feel good, you do good. So I said, and Blythe's the kind of person that she would take this. Like, I don't want to hear this self-talk. When you feel good. So pretty soon it's like, how you doing, Blythe? I'm doing good. When you feel good, you do. Then pretty soon it's like, how you doing, Blythe? I'm doing great. I'm like, wow. Pretty soon, how you doing, Blythe? I'm doing amazing. And I kid you not, in 1 year, this girl's math grades went like this. Because of the self-talk. I hate to say this, but if we listen to each other, and it's always easier to notice in somebody else. Sometimes the saint's self-talk isn't what it should be. Right? Now, in math class, I get to do that. I'm like, nope, we don't talk like that in here. You're not allowed to say that in this classroom. Okay? But sometimes in the body of Christ, wouldn't it be nice if some of this level 5 communication or whatever, would be like, nope, Mark or Luke, hey, you're not allowed to say that about yourself. That's not who God says we are, right? One of the things I find in prayer that's particularly this process of prayer from God's Word is my self-talk starts becoming what God says about me. I'm taking it from His Word. I'm speaking back to Him in reference from what He has said. And guys, God says a lot of good stuff about me. God says a lot of good stuff about you. And I walk away, because sometimes I want to, like, there's a part of you, the fleshly side of you, it's like, or the performance-based side of you that says, like, I'm not there yet. I'm not that good. God says, whoa. We'll get to confession of sin in a second. I'm not avoiding that. But God's saying, whoa, you're not allowed to talk like that. This is who you are. And the conclusion I come to, guys, God is always right. Amen? So if God says this about me, this is who I am. This is who He's made me. That talk starts becoming my talk. Recently in Bozeman, we had this song. I don't find fault with the song. I'm just communicating. It's All of Thee is the name of this hymn. And the first verse starts out with all of self, none of thee. And the second verse, I forget exactly, but like less of self and more of thee, or some of self, some of thee. The third verse, less of self and more of thee. And the last verse is none of self and all of thee. Guys, I kid you not. I couldn't sing the first three verses. I couldn't do it. Now, the progression is true. Okay? But I was belting out the last verse. My mind would not let me say those words. Okay? By God's grace, I have, from His Word and through prayer, it has recoded my brain to where I am never going to say it's about me. It's about God. It is none of self, all of you. And I'm just saying, this is what God's Word in conjunction with prayer, it changes who we are the way we think, to where you cannot even say something that's contrary to that value that God has put onto who you are. Extremely powerful. I'll just say this. I don't think there's any way you can get there without prayer. Because this is where it changes who we are. There's a unifying power of prayer. It unifies us with God, of course, gets us on the same page as Him. God builds our faith through this process. Everything you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive, right? So I remember as a kid, always been a Bobcat fan my whole life. Joe Shaney is one of the few guys that might say he's more of a Bobcat fan than me. I like this guy a lot for a lot of reasons. But my dad took me to this Bobcat basketball game. And in there is this van. And they're giving this van away with a raffle. And so my dad says, hey, I'm going to buy this couple raffle tickets. We're going to pray. I want you kids to pray that we get this van. Because my dad, at that point in time, he's driving around picking up kids to go to the Christian school. And we have this van that we're driving. And it was really cool as a kid, but it like blows smoke rings. Like literally, the smoke rings are coming. And that back seat, man, you hit bump, like your head will bump up. It was awesome to us as kids. My dad thought we needed a new van. So, man, I'm praying for that. And he takes us to the game where the raffle giveaway is. And I've been praying hard for this. And we get there, and this huge thing, and they're turning it, and they pull one out. Actually, they accidentally got two. And they put one back, and I am sure, 100% sure this is going to be Jay Wilson. And they said somebody else's name. I'm like, what just happened? This shocked me. So I asked my dad later, he's like, that van was more of a, you know, it had a table you set up and it was more of like a travel party van. He's like, it really wasn't the van we needed. Why did you ask me to pray for it then, Pops? You know, come on. But here's the thing. As a kid, I didn't know. Everything you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. I didn't understand what it means to have faith, the same things that God wants. God uses prayer to actually help us learn to want the same thing He wants, to get on the same page with Him. It's awesome through this process. He changes our desires and motives to be like Him. Is it James chapter 4? You ask, or you do not have. Why? Because you don't ask. Oh, and you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend it on your pleasures. God uses the process of prayer to shape the motives of our heart, where we want the same things that He wants. You know, I'm not going to throw Leah, I almost said Leah Hartford, but no. Leah Renner, I'm not going to throw her under the bus, but there was a fun thing that happened this morning in the kitchen with an orange. Anyways, Julie and I have been married 30 years. And amazingly, over those 30 years, we've really become a lot alike. Have you guys ever noticed older couples sometimes, like, they start looking alike even? Okay. And the dogs that they have with them start looking like them too somehow? I don't know how it works. But Julie and I have been married for 30 years, and amazingly, if we go to a restaurant, we go out to eat, most of the time we order the same thing. It's weird. I don't know if it's like we're afraid that the other one might get something better, and then we wish we would have had the other one. But we've just come to like the same things over 30 years. Okay? The same movies. Okay? Yes, I cry more in the Hallmark stuff than she does, but we like the same stuff. Okay? The same sports. Julie's a big Bobcat fan. She didn't like sports. What happens is you grow together, very much of your interests become common. Because you talk, you walk, you do this life together. Because God is working on us. If you skip the process of prayer, you will never have this kind of relationship with God where you like the same things He likes, where you want to do the same things He does. Hi, Josiah. I don't know what's going on with Sutton back there, but sorry, got distracted. Okay. There's a practical process that I want to hit real quick. We do pray without ceasing. Amen? Like, this is open to us. We pray constantly. We pray continually. We're devoted to prayer. But guys, when texting was first a thing, okay, there was a time that that was first a thing. Two of the biggest fights Julie and I have ever had in our life were when texting first and we misread each other's. We misunderstood the text. You understand what I'm saying? Like, now somewhere we've gotten good at this, right? But one of the best things I ever did in my life, Matthew, kid about 12, 13 years old, and finally Elena was old enough to run the household. I mean, sorry, Matthew. But I started going on weekly dates with Julie. And it was awesome for a lot of reasons. But the biggest thing is the weekly dates made all the rest of our lines of communication open and understandable. If you throw, basically what I'm saying is we can pray to God all the time. You don't have to have special time set aside for prayer. You can pray to God. Hopefully we are kind of right now. But if you don't take the special time set apart for it, the rest of those lines of communication break down. It's just the way it works. So this practical process of this. Some of us have heard the acronym ACTS. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And some of us use that in your prayer. I say max, meditative. I'm actually mostly M, meditate from God's word. I take God's word, whatever I read from one of the sections of scripture that morning, I just start praying through it till my page is filled, and then thank you, Lord. And along the way, guess what? There's a lot to praise God for. I appreciated the message last night from Brandon Mann. There's a lot to praise God for. Why? It's really for our benefit. Confession of sin. Okay? There's opportunity. Guys, does the word of God, does it pierce our hearts? Is it able to judge the thoughts and intentions of your heart? There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do, right? So you see this, the word of God hits you. It's convicting. Confess your sins to God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. Important part of our prayer life. Now I will say this, and I want to clarify. I would say confession of sin is this part of my prayer life, and the rest of it is this much. Because God's not interested in reinforcing negative self-talk, but he does require absolute honesty. Okay? And there's a guy named Don DeWelt years ago that first got me really thinking about maybe meditative prayer from God's word. And he said, if you make confession of sin a part of your daily prayer life, you will do one of two things. You will either quit sinning or you'll quit praying. Unfortunately, a lot of people quit praying. This process, God has set up intentionally for us. If that's a little soccer team, they do all those drills consistently, day after day after day. Now, you get club soccer teams that have been doing this kind of stuff, and it turns into the beautiful game. It's amazing the transformative aspect of this. But if you quit the process, if you quit praying, you quit confessing sin in your prayer life, then that flesh starts gaining the upper hand very quickly. So I want to encourage us on that, to put that a part of it. Lord willing, there's lots of, and again, you start where you start, okay? So I've been at this a long time, and I don't in any way want to be condescending of wherever anybody is. Okay? New Christians, I got to spend a lot of time with brand new Christians or people aren't quite in Christ yet, and it's a mess. The world is an absolute mess. Where people are starting from it's a wreck. Okay? So wherever you are on this, God doesn't care. Your iniquities, I remember no more. God cares about where your mindset is, where you're going, what's your spiritual trajectory. Okay? But as you grow in this, guys, it's really fun. When there's days you go to, you don't have sin to confess. Okay? I mean, this is because what? God is changing us into his likeness. Okay? It's an awesome thing. His process works. We can trust him with all of our heart. I'm tempted to try something here. I guess I better hit confession or thanksgiving and supplication since I mentioned it. Thanksgiving on Acts, you know, adoration, confession, thanksgiving. Adoration, my dad has said, praise is the protocol that opens the portals of heaven. Like, yeah, praise God, right, for who he is. Confession, we talked about thanksgiving. When you express thanksgiving to God, because it changes your attitude about everything. You start the day, it's kind of, I shouldn't say this, but it's sad to me sometimes. You see moms drop off their kids to school. And the last thing you hear these kids getting out of the car is mom yelling at them. That door closes like, these poor kids. It's like, that's a rough way to start your day. Right? When God, if we start by expressing our thanksgiving to God, what an awesome way to start your day. Be anxious for nothing. Okay? But in I just lost the verse. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There we go. Let your requests be made known to God. Okay? When you have an attitude of thanksgiving in your prayer, the way you see the world changes so much. It's like I purposely have my phone on grayscale a lot because I just find general life much more interesting when my phone's on grayscale. But when I have to turn it on to say, it's like, this is amazing. Hey, guys, when we pray with thanksgiving, that's life. It like opens up and it's like, this is amazing. The path that God has given to us. So I really want to encourage us. Supplication, this is something I actually need to work a little harder on. Hey, God wants us, he tells us, make your requests made known to him. To give him supplication. These would include our own personal requests. God wants to hear from us about your requests. It would include God's word spreading rapidly. It would include prayers for others, spiritual and physical. And I skipped this, guys. I meant to, but this unifying power of prayer, when I legitimately, not when I say, hey, oh, I'm praying for you and don't do it, but when I say I'm praying for you and I pray for you, it is so unifying. Now I naturally rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep because I am invested in the journey. It's an awesome thing that God has in this process. Okay. If you got paper, get it out. 5 minutes. If you got a phone, get it out, type away. Let's go to Psalm 23. Everybody knows Psalm 23? I just want you to, for 5 minutes, write down a prayer that's meditative from Psalm 23. Okay. I just take things that I like out of the passage in my Bible. I highlight it and then go off of those, but do it as you will. Okay, that's good. Thank you for doing that with me. Some of you, I know, already do this kind of stuff in your life. For a few of you, maybe we haven't done it. I'm just going to read mine really quickly, just as an example for maybe that would help you moving forward if you were having a challenge at all with it. But mine just says, Lord, you are my shepherd. You've been my shepherd since my youth. You've cared for me. You've protected me from temptation, from the wolves, from Satan himself. You've fed me from your word, given me everything I need. Truly, I am not in want. You and you alone satisfy the deepest desires of my heart. I shall not want. You restore my soul. You give me life. You make me alive inside. Your spirit, I'm glad God doesn't have to read, or it's easy for him to read my writing. Your spirit renews me day by day. You have renewed my subscription on eternal life. You've given me a clean slate today. Lord, I praise you for this. You guide me in the paths of righteousness. Lord, this life isn't about not doing wrong. It's about doing right for your glory. You have made me righteous through the blood of Christ. I thank you for that righteousness. Lord, you have given me a purpose in your life for your name's sake. That's as far as I got. But just, you guys, I hope you guys can see, like, if you take God's word and pray from it in meditation, like, it's changing what you think, what you want, to line up with God's. And so this process of prayer, because it's not so that we, you know, sometimes one of the kids will forget to pray when they were younger and be like, oh. Matthew might look at Caleb and say, oh, Caleb's eating devil's food. Okay. When I go on a trip, Okay. With Mikkel, he says appetizers don't count. Okay. You can down those first and then you say the prayer before the, guys, yes, we ask God for the blessing on our food, but prayer is so much more than that. Okay? It's Lord, I lay me down to sleep. You know, it's a lot more than that. It is from His Word, this process. God is changing us too. Guess what? The result of this is He is glorified in our lives for His name's sake. Amen. Oh, and secondly, guess what? That transformation, the inner man is being prepared for that eternal body of glory. I encourage you, if daily prayer is not a part, for me, I write it because it keeps me much more focused. Some of you don't need to do that. I'm the worst one tracker you ever met in my life, except maybe my dad. But whatever, however you do that, but I would encourage you, commit yourself to the process of prayer. If you don't commit to the process, you can never play two-touch soccer. You certainly can never play one-touch soccer. You never, the game of life that God has given to us, will never get good at it if we don't commit to this process of prayer. So, thank you.